And first, a word from today's sponsor, P.A. Pork.
No, it's never old, and it's not what you expect. But it's up and coming. It's right in front of you. It's the life of the party, the word on the street. It's in, it's always, and it's about time. It's where we're at, it's what you want, it's on your mind, it's in your mouth, it's pork, and it's catching on. The other white meat. Taste what's next.
Pork. It's what's for dinner.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now,
football show.
Come back down to Planet Rando, Brian.
Oh my gosh, a domestic abuser.
Oh God, what is it? He just sends a dick pic to Jerry across the table. What are you? What are you, a perv or something?
First of all, are you too busy to put your blackout dates on the Google Doc? I'm 1,000% sure you and your little butt buddy Randy have already talked about this, so.
Never. We would never collude.
You fucking canoodling.
No collusion.
We would never collude, John.
Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs. It's going to be probably the widest margin victory. I mean.
Hey, Matt, shrimp out of landlocked state, sign me up.
I don't think Randy's going to have a first round pick the entire decade of the 2020.
That's a guy that keeps his fall free. He knows it's football season.
Right.
And, you know, what's up with these? Some of these people planning trips to Italy during football season.
Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm Randy, and I'm alone here this week. John's off licking his wounds in Europe, and I'm joined here by the owner of Denny Irvine's Gatorade, Tom Haley. Tom, welcome to the party, buddy.
I apologize for the constellation pies, Randy.
Hey, it's all right. You were, just so you know, you were Plan C. The two people that are playing in the championship game, neither one could make it tonight. And Eric, who was Plan B, he's sick as well. Now I can see you, Tom. You look lovely, by the way.
I appreciate that.
But Eric was Plan B. You're Plan C, and I'm glad you could join. We had to get this done one way or another while Johnny's in Budapest and Vienna.
Vienna, yeah.
By the way, it looks like John's having a great time.
I agree. It looks very nice.
So, Tom, let's address the elephant in the room.
Okay.
I guess the olifant in the room. But let's get right to it. This week in the, what do we call it? The semifinal round of the playoffs, the first round?
The semifinals, yeah.
Semifinals. We had the Running Fools beating Denny Irvine's Gatorade 299.5. to 243.5 points. Tom, you can't be feeling good after that one.
Well, let's be honest here. I had a surprising finish to week one where I thought, oh, there's a little bit of hope there. Jamar Chase just pulled me out of the gutter, and I was still fighting after that Monday night game. Well, after a Thursday night game in which Brock Purdy put up a whopping 3 points, I knew that, probably not going to win this one, and I didn't.
It's all right. Yeah, you fought hard. Not what you wanted, but I'm trying to see. In week 15, Brian had 148.5 to your 104.5, so you kept it close. And then you kept it even closer in... my apologies. I still can't read. Week 14, Brian had 151 points. You had 139. So you kept it pretty tight there. And then... In week 15, Brian basically had a 44-point lead. So Brian pretty much ran away with it. And like you said, Chuba Hubbard didn't perform. Brock Purdy disappointing. Marvin Harrison Jr., 4 points.
He was not a good acquisition. Chuba Hubbard would not have thought that he would have been a better acquisition than Marvin Harrison Jr., but there you go.
But with Brian's team firing at all cylinders, you needed you needed as many points as you could, and I'm looking at your bench. You really didn't leave any points.
Now, let's be honest here. Most playoff teams are not still thinking about, like, which, you know, number five tight end is going to make the difference over Justin Jefferson or what other, you know, amazing player Brian had. I mean, his team was deep. He had three quarterbacks that were better than my two quarterbacks. He had at least, I mean, again, the only player I probably had on my team that Brian would want on his team is Ja'Marr Chase. Let's be honest, you know.
Now, on the flip side of that, Brian left a whopping 83.4 points on his bench.
Mike Evans, notably.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans with 23, Baker Mayfield with 27, but I mean,
no, Mike Evans had over 30.
Yeah, he had 31.5.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to see on Brian's team, notable points, Jalen Hurts putting up 27 points against the Steelers. Kyren Williams, another guy, could have kept. Boy, did I drop the ball with that.
If you would have kept Joe Mixon, Kyren Williams, you actually would have had good keepers. Like legitimately good keepers.
It's a damn shame. It's the world we live in now, Tom. It's a whole different world than it was, what is it now, 12 weeks ago?
Amon-Ra
St. Brown, the sun god, 30 points in a loss against Buffalo. That was a hell of a game, by the way.
Yes.
Now I'm trying to see. Scary Terry had 22.5. I'm trying to see. Your best players seem to let you down this week.
Well,
Chris Boswell only had 8 points.
Wait, who?
Chris Boswell.
I mean, it's still a kicker. I mean, I think you're talking about Ja'Marr Chase only getting, what, 13.5 or something like that? I mean, you know. Yeah, I definitely would not have thought that my top scorer this week would have been Brian Thomas Jr., but there you go.
I want to say, Tom, I was talking to the other representatives in the East, and you let the East down this year. You are our only team that made the playoffs. One team out of the East. There were three teams out of the West, and you let us all down.
Well, you know, there's a lot of chatter on Twitter, on wherever people check social media. I think it's called X now, according to Elon Musk. Anybody who had either Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley was probably going to win their fantasy league. Mm-hmm. Well, neither person who had those people on their teams made the championship.
Correct.
And Derrick Henry changed hands, and that person didn't make it. And Saquon didn't even make it. So that should tell you something about our league.
How, not to fast forward, I know you're still hurting from a loss, but what are you most looking forward to in going into next season?
I'm just fantasizing about Pilfer and John's team now that he hasn't made the championship. I mean, that's as much as not winning for the billionth time obviously hurts, it is a bit satisfying the fact that the person I traded my best player away to that everybody trolled me for did not make the championship. So, yeah, that is pretty nice.
See, Tom, I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's worse, personally. Losing again in the playoffs and still not reaching that brass ring and having a championship, or disappointing your family at Christmas. You promised your father a fantasy football championship for Christmas, and you didn't deliver yet again.
Randy, my father is far more concerned that I'm not running the Boston Marathon than winning fantasy football. So
your dad's running another marathon?
Oh, he's going to die on the road.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyways, on that note, let's transition, Tommy, to the game of the week last week. As soon as I can click it, this is right here. Oink versus the Iron City Olyphants, with Oink pulling off what I would call the upset, scoring 340 points to the Iron City Olyphants 262.5 points, Tom. And I want to let you know, all-time round one playoff scoring, David has clinched that record. And the record was set in, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I have this right. The record was set in 2022. It was set by the Olyphants with 264.5, and they won by 120-point margin. That was the widest margin of victory in a first-round playoff game in our league in 2022.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that John's high score was 262?
264.5 in 2022.
Wait a minute. So what did the other person score? Like 110 points in 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was a really bad... With all these windows open up, I can't go through and click.
No, I appreciate that. It's just like, you know, David scoring 340 is an unbelievably good score. So it must have been the reverse the first time where there was an unbelievably bad score.
So
somewhere in there.
Point differentials. The record was initially set in 2021 when I beat the formerly known as the MPL MILFs, which are now the technical fouls. I beat them by a margin of 72.5 points. That record was then broken the following year by the Oliphants. They beat the One Face Wonders at that time by a margin of 120 points. Altman and Sons, the Running Fools beat Altman and Sons in 2023 by a margin of 54. And Oink this year beat the Oliphants with a margin of 77.5.
Looking at the way our scores broke down, I mean, I almost wish there was a way to check like past transactions, like, you know, especially our deadline moves mm-hmm. in the past, because I feel like there was a much greater consolidation of good players on teams maybe this year than past years, because the scores definitely seem higher this year, right? Because
they do.
I was the low end with like 245, which is still not a terrible score. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And Brian had almost 300, and that still wasn't as impressive as the 340 David had.
Yeah, so no, David...
Look at some of the scores, it's just...
So I was able to go all the way back and in the playoffs, and David's 340 points, that was the highest total we've ever had.
I mean, Josh Allen, what a year to have your close personal friend, because what did he have, 51 last week and 40 this week? I mean, that's got to be the highest back-to-back... Well, hold on a second. I bet you fantasy football all time, the highest back-to-back ever for a quarterback has to be Big Ben that year that he had 6 touchdown passes back-to-back weeks.
It could be.
But that has to be the highest ever for a quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah.
But Josh Allen putting up, I think, 6 touchdowns last week, and I think 4 or 5 with 400 or 500 this week. That's got to be pretty up there for highest fantasy totals of all time.
Yeah, and then, so Josh Allen. Yeah, in his last 4 games, he put up 23 points, 26 points, 51, and then 40. And you know what? Going into the first round of the championship game, Tom, not to jump ahead, but the Bills got New England. So it's a pretty good opportunity. He could be putting up a lot of points. But let's get back to... Where is it? Let me click off this. So looking at... Let's just start with Oink while we're here. So Oink had Josh Allen, 40 points. Aaron Jones, 17. He had A.J. Brown, who had a hell of a game against Steelers, 21 points. CeeDee Lamb, 21.5. Puka Nacua in a... That was a dogfight, the Rams versus the 49ers. That game was only 12-6. He had 13.5.
I think he was the highest scorer from that game because it was a terrible offensive game.
Yeah, and then he had 16 points from his kicker. That's always a nice little cherry on top.
Who was his kicker again?
Brandon Aubrey for the Cowboys.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
And if you're looking at the Oliphants, you know... They finally got their big hitters back, and some of them, they disappointed. I mean, Lamar Jackson had a great game. He had 35 points. Jahmyr Gibbs had 25.5. And then Derrick Henry was a letdown.
Laid an egg
with 6 points. Tyreek Hill, 4 points. And then if you're looking at the rest of the lineup, Nico Collins had a good game, 15 points. A-Chain for Miami had 10.5. Alvin Kamara, another guy, well, I wouldn't have probably kept him, but I had him, 14 points. And I'm trying to see John's bench. Yeah, he left Malik Nabers with 19 and Garrett Wilson with 12.5, but even that wouldn't have been enough.
John's team this year reminds me a lot of my team. I think it was 2 years ago, the year that we were in Charlotte, I believe, where I think I was number 1 overall seed and the number 1 point scorer, because I think I remember getting those payoffs, and then I lost in the championship. And
that's the year you beat me in the playoffs by like a point or two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was because, again, this was a year where, just looking at rosters, I knew that I needed some serious help, luck, whatever you want to call it. That year, I was truly pissed because I thought I had the team to win it all. Just like, it's got to hurt for John this year. When looking at it on paper, he had the team. He definitely had the team.
If championships were won on paper, Tom, the Iron City Oliphants, they'd have another one in their trophy case.
It's true.
Over in Bloomfield.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know what? John, I know we don't give out consolation prizes, but I'm going to give you a delayed Johnny. Congratulations on the You Won a Championship on Paper award. Enjoy it while it lasts. I'll mail it. If you text me your address in Austria, we'll mail it. Yeah, a great round. I'm very intrigued, Tom, to see what Oink has in store. That team is firing on all cylinders.
Team of destiny. Team of destiny.
Speaking of Oink, Tom, do you want to start with... So, real quick, let's break down the game, and then we'll hear from the Running Fools, who had a lot to say. We'll hear from Oink, and then after that, me and you will make some predictions.
Absolutely, let's go for it.
All right, let's let me bring up the matchup real quick. I gotta remember which tab. Also, Tom, I don't know how to edit this, so there will be absolutely no editing of this. So, looking at the lineups as it stands, you have Oink projected 128.2 to the Running Fools projection of 125.4. So, a very, very, very tight matchup here in our Week 16, Tom. You still there, buddy?
Absolutely, I am. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. As long as you can you see what I'm looking at or no? Do you want me to share my screen?
No, I got you. Don't worry. All right.
So it looks like for Oink, we got Josh Allen up against New England. We got Aaron Jones up against Seattle. Bijan Robinson against the Giants. A.J. Brown against Washington. CeeDee Lamb, who is questionable, against Tampa. Puka Nacua against the Jets. T. Higgins against Cleveland. Kittle against Miami. And Aubrey against Tampa Bay. I'm trying to see, Tom, any update on CeeDee Lamb? And of course it wouldn't, yeah, here's his projection. What's he out with? Right here. Shoulder limited through walkthrough. Yeah, he'll probably play. He'll be fine.
So I would say, obviously, CeeDee Lamb not being able to play in the championship would be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at David's bench, and especially over the last few weeks, if we want to, you know, think a trend is going to continue, Davante Adams. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, it's just one of those things that he could roll the dice with that one. He might be, you know, doing himself a good favor there.
Yeah, I would agree with you that. Let me ask you a question. With the news that came out this morning that the Falcons are benching Kirk Cousins for Michael Penix, do you think that hurts Bijan Robinson at all, or do you think that helps?
Honestly, I'm really not sure, because the Falcons offense has been horrible for the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And, do you have Bijan's numbers up in front of you, like over the last few games?
Yeah, let me, I can bring that up real quick. That to me seems like the only, yeah, they've been hammering him the last couple games.
Yeah. So I'd be more concerned if you were talking about Drake London than Bijan, because obviously Drake London needs to catch the ball, but yeah. Bijan, you're handing it off to him. I mean,
well, here's my fear, and I know the Giants aren't the greatest of football teams right now.
Yeah,
but you're starting a rookie quarterback, Brian Daboll. If I'm him, I blitz the shit out of Michael Penix. I'm more worried about stopping Bijan than I am Michael Penix going out there and lighting me up.
So I do agree with you, but at the same time, the Giants have bottomed out so much. I don't know if there's anything they can do about anything. I mean, because earlier in the season, their defense wasn't that bad when they had Dexter Lawrence and mm-hmm. Kayvon Thibodeau still healthy. I don't think they have any other star players left still playing on that team. So, I mean, I just think the Giants have completely stopped playing for anything. So I think anybody they go against, like, I think there's a reason why Michael Penix is starting this game. Like, yeah. Let me say that.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I'm trying to see. I don't know why ESPN, it like whites it out. I'm having trouble reading it. Yeah, David's not going to start Tua over Josh Allen. Close personal friend, Josh Allen. I like that David is a tight end in his lineup. Shout out to that. I believe David was one of the ones that were against tight ends.
I think Kittle might be the only guy mm-hmm. left who you would want to play in your lineup. I mean, weirdly enough, the guy that I should have been playing more often, Jonnu Smith, has actually got a touchdown in like four straight games. But Kittle just gets a lot of volume right now because there's nobody left at all on the Niners offense. I mean, you know, McCaffrey's out, Debo's not what he once was, Ayuk's out. I mean, so they're leaning pretty heavily on Kittle right now.
I'm intrigued. I like something you said. If I'm David, I might go with Davante Adams. I don't know who you replace, but...
Well, no, again, this would be if CeeDee can't play. Mm-hmm. You put Devontae in.
Well, I'm just saying, if you look at his last four games, he had 10 points in week 11, 14.5 in week 13, 20.5 in week 14, and 37.5 against Jacksonville in week 15.
Yeah, so that's the funny thing about the Jets. You know, as much as I don't like Aaron Rodgers, he's playing a lot better in the last month. It's just that whole team is so bad. The defense is even worse than the offense now, so they can't do much.
Yeah. That's a real interesting. I'd like to see Oink. Look, if you're Oink, you got to make a splash. And I think that's the, if I'm looking at it, that's the only tweak I think he could make. But David,
well,
don't.
Well, I mean, you say that, but after the last few weeks, I don't think David needs to prove anything to anybody. I mean, his team is clearly for real.
Ah, this is the moment. This is the moment of truth, Tom.
Well, there you go.
Does David just want to be the butt of every podcast joke and be called James Franklin for the next however many years? Or does he finally want to win that championship?
Randy, let's be honest here. Nobody's ever going to be the butt of any podcast joke except for yours truly. And that's okay.
Tom, listen, I would love for David to become the first ever and the only ever corporate champion of our league. It's never been done. The commissioner has never been the champion of our league. I would love to see it done.
Are David and I the only two who haven't won it? Has David won it before?
David is not in the modern era. You have not. Didiano has not in the modern era. Me, John, Chez. Yeah, I think that's it.
There you go.
Tom, just think of all the Instagram posts of David in London, in Scotland, in Spain, in wherever the hell, in Italy, with the championship fantasy football belt that he brings in his carry-on. Just picture it. That belt will travel continents.
I want to see him carry that belt with him the way people bring terrible towels to the Eiffel.
That's what I'm saying.
The
content makes itself. Just picture Allison being like, David, like they're in TSA and she's like, David, what's taking you so long? He's like, the fantasy football belt keeps setting off the alarm at the x-ray machine.
The next time that he takes a photo of a perfectly placed cappuccino, I want that belt waving from the corner saying, hi, I'm always here.
Exactly. I want David to be the corporate champion. I would love it. I would love to see corporate champion David Galanci of Oink. Now, Tom, on to another man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyways. The running fools. The reigning, defending, undisputed fantasy football champion of our league. Going for his historic number 5, the one for the thumb. What do you think, Tom? What do you think about Brian's team rolling into the fantasy football championship?
At this point, Brian is, pick a dynasty. Brian is the current Chiefs. He is the Patriots. He is the team where until he is mathematically eliminated, we always believe that he's probably going to win it. And he's in it again, and no one's really surprised.
as I've said all year, you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And Brian right now, I don't know that I'd say he's the best team, but historically he's the best. And for, part of me really wants to see Brian get that fifth fantasy football championship.
I mean, the fact that he was able to make the mistake he made by sending Bijan back to David and getting back McCaffrey just in time for him to get hurt for the year and mm-hmm. still making the championship shows how deep his team really is.
What a wild move.
Yeah.
What a wild move. But,
He just loves those white running backs, man.
He does. He loves white running backs like I collect white wide receivers. They're like infinity stones to me and Brian. So looking at Brian's lineup, you got Jalen Hurts against Washington, Kyren Williams against the Jets. You got Joe Mixon against Kansas City. Amon-Ra St. Brown against Chicago. Justin Jefferson against Seattle. Jonathan Taylor against Tennessee. Drake London against the Giants. Mike Evans against Dallas. And I'm going to butcher this one. Kaimi Fairbairn?
The kicker.
Yeah, the kicker for Houston.
Right. Against the Chiefs, you said, right?
Yeah, the Chiefs. And I'm just looking at Brian's lineup. There's no one in there I'd pop right in.
Well, but hold on a second. We already talked about the Michael Penix Jr. thing. Do you trust Penix Jr. throwing to Drake London?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, maybe. You know what, Brian? Every time this year you seem to take Scary Terry out of your lineup, he seems to prove you wrong. And right now, you do not have him in your lineup.
Although, I wouldn't put him in McLaurin either because we just saw what the Eagles defense did to our beloved Steelers. And if you go back to the last time Washington played Philly, Philly totally shut down Washington that game as well. So that Philly defense is really cooking.
Yeah, he had 1 point. He had 1.5 points against Philly in week 11. He had one reception, and I'm trying to see how many times he was targeted. He was only targeted twice. So, yeah, good point. Good point.
There you go. I'm just saying, like, you know, some of these matchups really do matter.
Trying to see. You know what? If you're Brian, you got a choice to make a kicker, though. Tyler Bass against New England or Fairbairn against Kansas City.
I would keep Fairbairn because Bass has been very inconsistent this year.
Are you trying to say Tyler Bass has been playing like ass?
I mean, your words, but yeah.
Trying to see. Let's take a look at the numbers real quick. What did Jalen do against
Washington the first time?
Yeah, the Commanders the first time. He had 17 points. Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Yeah, that's fine for a starter.
And I'm trying to see. Let's see here. This is one that I'm interested in.
I mean, obviously for a quarterback, you want to hit 20 points to me in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. Like your quarterback gets a 20 every week. But 17, for as good as his team is, that's not so bad.
This is what I want to see right here, Tom. Baker Mayfield.
But I would trust Jalen with the tush-push slash running touchdown ability over how many interceptions Baker and Jordan Love seem to throw.
Yeah, the last two games Baker's thrown, or the last three games, Baker threw two against Carolina, two against the Raiders, and one against the Chargers.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know that I would go with him either. And he's nursing a knee injury, so.
Yeah.
I think Brian's team, it's pretty self-explanatory. I think Brian, there's not a whole lot of moves Brian can make here. I'm surprised the projection is as close as, it's only, what, a 2.8 difference? Something like that?
Well, I mean, at almost every level, you look at the matchups, and they are pretty close. I mean, every player they have are pretty close to each other.
Now, Tom, I will tell you one little side bet. Not side bet. One little side note. In the last four fantasy football championship games, the team that has won round one by the widest margin is the team that did win in the end, the fantasy football championship.
Momentum is a powerful thing, Randy.
I don't know if that'll matter in this one. Oink won by 77.5 points in round one this year. Brian won by 54 points in 2023. John won by 120 points in 2022. I won by 72.5 in 2021. All four of us.
Who did the Bills play again this week, Brandy?
Huh?
Who did the Bills play again this week?
The New England Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think that's a pretty good sign for David, because in order for him to keep up his scoring bonanza, he needs Josh Allen to keep going off. And I think there's a good chance he will against New England.
You put some goddamn respect on Josh Allen, Tom. Close personal friend, Josh Allen.
Randy, I think I'm giving him plenty of respect, considering I think he's the linchpin in David's team, and he's been carrying his ass so far. So there you go.
David, you know, David knew that. I think David secretly was invited to the wedding of Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld, because he knew that he's having a career year ever since he got married.
He is. The last 3 weeks since they announced his engagement, he's going off.
And I know we talked about this, but also Jordan Love has been playing great during Toyotathon.
That is my favorite arbitrary stat of all time.
I love
it.
It
makes absolutely no sense, but you can actually track it the last 2 years where, like, it's a real thing.
Yeah, that's baffling to me. But so, Tom, here, I'm going to play it. Right now, we're going to hear... Who do we want to hear from first? You know what? Let's hear from Brian, the defending, reigning, undisputed champion. Are you ready to hear from Brian, Tom?
Let's go for it.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I guess I'll start out by, you know, saying good match, Tom. I mean, there was never really any doubt. But, hey, you kept fighting, and that's what I appreciate about you. Now on to a real matchup. Got Commissioner Glancy these next couple of weeks. Going to have to be extra attentive and make sure he doesn't pull any Joe Biden nonsense and abuse his executive powers and make last-minute rule changes or any other funny business like that. He's got a lot of power, that commission over there. You know, I just got to make sure he keeps that power in check. Now, I could dive into all the analytics and all the players and matchups, but at the end of the day, you got two really talented ball clubs going at it. The real question is, will David continue to be the James Franklin of this league, or will David beat Goliath? Does David have it in him? Does he have that dog in him? Does he have what it takes to win the big game? He has the talent, but does he have the resolve to do what is necessary to win? Coming from a four-time fantasy football championship team, here's what you should know about winning before you chase it. Winning isn't loyal to you. It doesn't care about you. It doesn't care how hard you work. It isn't fair. Sometimes there is no justice. Winning requires all of you and then more, and promises you nothing. It's a mastermind of creating fear and doubt in your mind. It causes a setback after setback. So the question about winning, are you willing to sprint when the distance is unknown? Because if not, don't bother showing up. So back to the real question. My money is on me getting a fifth championship and being two-thirds of the way to my second three-peat. Call me Michael Jordan, bitch.
And Tom, we do have a part two from Brian.
And I have one more message for David.
Hey, strong words coming from Brian.
Randy, you are more well-versed in sports movies than I am. Did he pull that speech about winning from somewhere? Because if he didn't, that was pretty impressive. I was captivated.
I don't. You know what? I did not listen to these before. They told me they were going to send them, and I said I would just listen to them cold turkey with you and react as soon as I heard it. I was not expecting a haiku from Brian.
I got to tell you, man, that was pretty good. Brian could be, I don't know if motivational speaker is the right word, because it was kind of cynical, but it was pretty impressive. I liked it.
I'm intrigued to see who that is from. I'll have to text Brian later and figure out who that's from. But strong words and a lot of confidence coming out of the Running Fools.
I mean, you know, in fairness to him, he deserves to be confident. He is the all-time winningest Super Friends league member, and he also just kicked my ass. So hey, he's feeling high and mighty.
He's riding just as high as Oink is right now,
and he absolutely should be.
And kudos to Brian. You know, I thought I was the only one that was nervous about the potential risk of a corporate champion. And what do you think? You think Commissioner Glancy can keep his hands off the rule adjustments and points adjustments and let it be a fair and square game?
I don't know. I mean, this is pretty tough for me in terms of who I'd want to win this championship, considering, well, I would love to see another person stay in the basement with me, you know, never having a ring. But I also don't want to see Brian get another ring and be even cockier than he already is. So it's a real Sophie's choice.
We need a new rule change in 2025, Tom. If the commissioner is in the fantasy football playoffs, only if he's in the playoffs, until he's eliminated, there needs to be named an acting commissioner. And it could be Allison for all I care, but I still think it'd be funny if we had an acting commissioner.
It'll be funny if all of a sudden, like Anthony is doing...
last place. Either last place should be acting commissioner, or we need an outside commissioner. It could be Keegan. It could be Ian, Anthony. We need an acting commissioner to calm the seas and get everything back to normal.
I think that's a good idea.
So, Tom...
We'll vote on it in the offseason.
Speaking of the offseason, before we get to David... I do have a unofficial rumor. Well, it's an official rumor. It came from the commissioner's office. But the league office has engaged in talks, Tom, of hosting the 2025 draft at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, let's go. Okay.
Nothing's official yet, but I have been told, I was allowed to announce it on this, the league is in active talks to host the fantasy draft. So, boys... don't be planning any big trips come, what do we normally draft, Tom? August, September?
And would this trip to Canton, Ohio be contingent on not limiting David's powers as commissioner?
Probably. Now, I will say, as someone who does not have very many draft picks, I'm pretty excited that while you all are drafting, I can go tour the Hall of Fame.
That is true.
It's a great year to not have any draft picks.
You will have plenty of time by yourself to do what you want for about an hour while we're on.
I can go sit at Don Shula's Steakhouse, have a nice ribeye, and then meet you guys for the fifth round. So, Tom, with that, let's hear from Commissioner Glancy and team owner of Oink.
The reason Oink will win the Super Friends Fantasy Football Championship and finally get over the hump are really easy. First of all, we're exercising our demons. We couldn't beat the Ollie fans. We couldn't beat the Running Fools. But you know what? We beat the Ollie fans so badly over a two-week period that John Dillard had to ship off to Austria, and we still haven't seen him since. Better watch out, Brian. Who knows where you're going to be after Wink's done with you. Second, I think we have a better team. No one's playing hotter in football right now than the boys on Wink. And our bench is overall better than the Running Fools. When we look at the Fools bench, they don't really have as many options as we do. Yeah, they have three quarterbacks. Whoop-de-doo. That means that they don't have a quarterback like our close personal friend Josh Allen. They also have two kickers. I mean, they're not bad options to have, but that bench doesn't scream the same amount of depth that Oink bench has, with a couple starting running backs, running back ones for teams, and some receivers that are playing well right now. Next, we're the hottest team. We're the hottest player. It's December. It's Josh Allen time. I wanted to take him first overall when I had the first overall pick in the draft this year because I've been burned by him by not having him on my team in the prior years. I've had James Cook before. I've had Stephon Diggs before. Everybody on Buffalo's production drops when the lake effect snow comes into Buffalo. Who's running the ball? Josh Allen. Who's running the ball near the goal line? Josh Allen. If it's a touchdown through the air, he's got the points anyway. Otherwise, he's their leading rusher. He's doing it all. This is the time of the year he feasts. He's averaging like 45 points a week. Nobody looks better than him right now, and he's going to close out his MVP run. And close personal friend of the pod. Otherwise, I like the rest of our team when we're looking at where we go for the remainder of the year. The Vikings are playing some pretty good football. Aaron Jones is a fringe starter for me. He starts more often than not, but he's a good option to have. Bijan Robinson's playing well. Kirk Cousins has been shitting the bed recently, and Bijan's still been putting up a lot of points. They changed to Penix, so who knows where Bijan's going to go. A.J. Brown seems to have gotten over his issues with the Eagles' passing game recently. CeeDee Lamb, somehow, despite having horrible quarterback play all year, is the fifth-ranked receiver in fantasy. Nobody at the receiver position is hotter than Puka right now. Maybe T. Higgins, who I also have. How about George Kittle? The 49ers have literally no other offensive options. He's averaging almost 14 points a game as a tight end. Pretty unheard of at this point. And again, I like the guys on my bench. So, yeah, it is the year of the pig. It is the year of oink. And lastly, if we needed another storyline, it's going to hopefully be Brian's hubris that ends the Running Fool's chance to win the championship. They had to try to get in with the style points and get CMC back. Our little German friend, well, I don't know where the fuck he is, probably hiding in Austria with John, isn't going to be playing the rest of the year. He's not going to be playing the championship. Brian brought him back, even though Bijan's been on fire, and I think that will be the final nail in the coffin. Say it with me. O-I-N-K, oink, oink, oink.
I don't know about you, Tom, but that makes me excited for Oink.
I'm pretty pumped. That was a good end. That was pretty solid.
Oink bringing the fire from over there on Vermont Avenue. He is ready. You can tell he's excited. Brian just is acting like it's another day at the office. You know what I mean? David legitimately seems excited.
Well, who do you think will be more excited to win a championship this year? The Kansas City Chiefs or the Detroit Lions?
Oh, hell yeah, the Detroit Lions.
I'm just saying. And who's who in this scenario?
But I'm not going to lie, Tom. I'd be nervous if I were the Detroit Lions and I'm up against the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been there, done that.
Absolutely.
Can block out of the noise. Brian's blocking everyone out. Brian is focused. David might be, I don't know, he might be looking down the road a bit too early.
When you've been there before, you know what the pressure feels like.
Mm-hmm. But for David, you do all this work year after year after year after year. It's got to feel good to finally get to the dance.
He's never even made it before?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look that far back. But
Okay.
If David had a year where he was going to win it, this is his best chance.
Well, he's never been hotter. Let's be honest.
Hey. Are you saying it? Are you saying oink, oink, oink? Give me your prediction, Tom. How do you want to do it? You want to pick round one? Or you want to pick both rounds? Or you just want to call a clear-cut winner?
I'm going to call a clear-cut winner.
All right, give it to me. Who you taking, Tommy?
As much as it pains me to say it, and when I say pains, I mean physically it makes me ill to say it. Oink. Oink, oink, oink.
Tom, you literally took the words out of my mouth. This is the first time all season I can say I've ever agreed with you about anything. I was really hoping you went with Brian, because I was going to go on a big long thing about how this is the year of the pig, it's the year of oink, and I'm with you. I think oink, they're too hot right now.
I think that you go as Josh Allen goes. And if Josh Allen can do even close to what he's done in the last 2 weeks, I think he's got it. I think David.
I would love to see close personal friend Josh Allen finally win another Super Friends Fantasy Football Championship. I would love to see Oink finally achieve the mountaintop of fantasy football and win one. I think this is the year. I think he pulls off the upset. I think he not only beats the Running Fools in round one, Tom, I think he puts a stomping on him, and he beats him again in round two.
Well, look, I don't have the past history in front of me, but it certainly seems like if you win week one, especially by at least a sizable margin, you're going to win week two. That's mm-hmm. why I don't think it's even worthwhile discussing mashups week by week. I mean, I just feel like once you're ahead, you stay ahead. And at least that's what has been proven out in this year's round one. I think it's probably proved that out if we look into it in past year's round ones. But there you go.
I'm really, really, really excited for this week one of the Fantasy Football Championship matchup. And Tommy, with that said, thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a suitable replacement for Johnny Boy while he's off gallivanting in Europe. And for you listeners, I believe we're going to be back next week. I'm not 100% sure. John did not clarify that. So if we're not back next week, I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, and I'll see you all at Hanukkah dinner.
Hopefully my name on the marquee doesn't ruin viewership too much. But we'll, here we go.
And with that being said, I'll see you in at Froggies.
See you in the Froggies.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes till the biggest battle of our professional lives all comes down to today. And either we heal as a team, or we're gonna crumble. You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing. Fight. It's the guy who's willing to die who's gonna win that itch. Yeah.